Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen. You may be seated. There are many teachings out there on the Holy Spirit. Just who is the Holy Spirit and what does He actually do anyway? There's much confusion if you ask people today about the Holy Spirit, and it gets worse if you ask those who belong to the cults. The title of the Holy Spirit is often used by false teachers as a Trojan horse to bring in any and all sorts of mystical and spiritual matters, deceiving the soul away from Christ. It's also common in some circles to heretically make the Holy Spirit female in order to complete the Trinity, the Godhead, has some kind of nuclear family. All too often, it is anything but a Holy Spirit that such groups will play with. That we know even from Scripture that demons love the attention they get by claiming to be the Holy Spirit. And people so taught and catechized by our world today to be uncritically feeling and absent of all thinking, well, in their lives, they are willing to accept whatever gives them the feeling to be the quote-unquote Holy Spirit. Once they have first been groomed, taught, that feeling is what they are now addicted to. But such is the deceitfulness of demons and the devil. If you search the Scriptures, the sole source and norm of what Christians are to believe, the Scriptures, the only way to know what God says and what God wants us to know, you will find that much for what passes today as the Holy Spirit is definitely not the Holy Spirit, but instead demons leading people away from Jesus and into selfish, feel-good, enthusiastic faith that has nothing firm to hold on to, which is just exactly where the devil wants all souls to be, vacillating to and fro without any security or firm hope. This from the charismatic movements of the last century, which infested all denominations. This from the Pentecostal movements, which this last century started their own denominations. This from modern denominations, which change their beliefs and call it the Spirit, but in the end, it's every change of culture that they mimic. And all the way out of Christianity into the cults, like the burning of the bosom by the Mormons and every other demonic deception that finds no basis in the Word of God today. That the title Holy Spirit is often attached to deceptions away from Jesus, away from Christ's saving and completing work for mankind. But the Word of God is clear, and it teaches us that the Holy Spirit will point to Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. That to do this, Jesus, in this Holy Week discourse that we're hearing about over these coming weeks, Jesus teaches us that the Holy Spirit will be our helper, our comforter, but He will also be the convictor. That He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. That He will create the Word of God by His own inspiration, and in that Word we will have everything, all that we need. For as we heard, the implanted Word, that is, the Word of God which is heard and believed, is able to save your soul. And that from this Word, we find the Spirit at work in the water of holy baptism. We find the Spirit at work in preaching of the Word and in absolution. We find the Spirit at work bestowing the forgiveness of sins of Christ through the Lord's Supper. And if we search through all of the scriptures, we will come to the conclusion that whatever is thought to be of the Spirit outside of the Word and the sacraments is wrong, hellishly, heretically wrong. And that the Bible is very clear on this. And only by perverting that sacred and holy text can the Spirit be used as explanation for any other things. The Spirit has been given to us. And the Spirit brings true spirituality. The fact of the matter is that being spiritual is actually very plain and ordinary according to Scripture. When you read or when you hear the Word of God, you are experiencing a truly spiritual thing. When water is applied with that Word of God, or when you remember the promises from that Word of God about your baptism, it is truly a spiritual thing. When you conduct yourself according to all godliness, which you learn from the Word of God, when you do that in the callings that God has given you in the home, in the state, or in the church, that is truly spiritual. When you trust Christ's word to do as he says through bread and wine, eating and drinking Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins, that is truly spiritual. When you approach your death with a firm trust in the forgiveness that Christ has earned for you, that is truly spiritual. That is what Jesus says in the Word of God. That Jesus went to the Father and sent the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who brought what is Christ to the apostles and had it written down for the ages, for all that is to come, the Word of truth from the Spirit of truth, who, as we heard today, by the will of God has brought you forth as first fruits of creatures by that Word of truth, the Word of God. There is nothing more spiritual than a Christian who trusts Jesus. Because there, in that person, the Holy Spirit has done his work and continues to do so by keeping you in the one true faith. And so he convicts the world, but he comforts us. So this Sunday is called Cantate Sunday, Singing Sunday. That our hymns all are set upon rejoicing. Rejoicing not in us, but rejoicing in what God has done for us and to us. That these hymns will celebrate the finished work of Jesus. That finished work which continues to affect us even today by the Holy Spirit, who visits sinners by the word and sacrament, who brings what is Christ's to them, richly, daily, forgiving the sins of all who trust in Christ. That there is no greater spirituality, there is no greater reason for rejoicing and singing. No matter what your earthly experiences tell you, Christ Jesus has sent his Holy Spirit to you that you today could rejoice in the forgiveness of your sins. That you are more spiritually alive by trusting in that forgiveness that Christ delivers by word and sacrament than any supposed spiritual miracle worker whose true God ends up being themselves and their feelings. The ones that eventually they will do anything and everything they can do to obtain and keep, just like a drug addict. But we sing and we rejoice because the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Comforter, has been sent by our Lord Jesus Christ. He is among us. He is daily keeping us as Christians by granting us daily repentance and faith in Jesus. And that Jesus teaches us today that he is at work through his word. The Holy Spirit has worked through his word, convicting the world of sin. that all of their sin will be rooted indeed in their unbelief of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. That the world hates Christ and is too proud to need a Savior. But the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, the same Helper, the same Comforter, is sent to us and gives us faith in Jesus. That we would not be convicted by our sin, but convinced of our Savior and the forgiveness of our sins. That the Holy Spirit has been sent to us to continue to convict the world concerning righteousness. This very reason, as Jesus tells us, this is why so many unbelievers are trying to find their own way in this world. This is why they still try to be spiritual people. They reject the righteousness of Christ, that is the righteousness of faith in Christ, who went back to his Father by way of the cross, the Christ who kept the law on behalf of sinners, the Christ who suffered and died on behalf of sinners for their own sake, the Christ who then bestows this righteousness upon all who believe. But the world does not know, does not believe, completely rejects the righteousness that Jesus has earned for their sake. And thus we see the world hate Jesus and come up with all of its own forms of its own righteousness, whether in creating a different, often lower form of morality, whether it's joining in social movements, or in just the plain old works-based false religions. That the world is convicted by the Holy Spirit, but we as Christians are comforted by the Holy Spirit. What the world rejects, the Holy Spirit has created faith in our hearts that we would trust, that we would receive this righteousness of Jesus. This righteousness that avails before God in heaven, a righteousness not of our own, but of His doing. And yet Jesus teaches us one more thing the Holy Spirit convicts the world of. He convicts the world of judgment, Jesus says, because the ruler of this world, that is the devil, is judged already. That the end approaches, the last day comes near, and no matter how mighty the world will project itself, no matter how bold the devil will make his own disciples, they are judged. That Christ has won. That the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, convicts them of this. That they will not be able to dispute it. They will not be able to look away from this truth on the last day, because it will be there in the person of Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, they will of course continue to try to wage war against Christ and His church, that is, His Christians. That they want you to think that the church is small, that the church is defeated already, that you are better off joining their winning team rather than suffering for what you believe. Never mind that they will be the ones to make you suffer. That here, the Holy Spirit is once again the comforter of us. For He takes what is Christ's and delivers it to us. That we have been called out of this world, that we have been given faith in Jesus by the working of the Spirit through that Word. And that faith in Jesus receives the righteousness of Jesus. And that by having His perfect righteousness, we look forward with confident hope towards the judgment, knowing that all that Christ has done is ours already. That no matter what the world or the devil will try to do in the meantime, does not matter at the last. So we sing. We sing as ones comforted by God Himself. Dear Christians, one and all, rejoice. Christ has ascended to the Father and sent His Holy Spirit to us. It is to our advantage. We need not go on some kind of mystical journey to experience and feel all that we think we need to discover him. We need not be embarrassed of our common day-to-day humdrum spirituality founded in God's word. But we need to look for God, where God has promised to be found in his word, and from that word in his sacraments, the Holy Spirit's constant tools that he uses where and when he pleases for making and for keeping Christians Christians. Jesus said so. That forgiveness is constantly given to you by these tools of the Spirit, which deliver what Christ has earned to you here and now. You need not be embarrassed about your spirituality and how ordinary it is. That you have true spirituality. You have a rich spiritual life simply by being here today, listening to the Word of God, remembering your baptism, receiving Christ's body and his blood, and then by going home in firm faith, trusting in Christ for all your righteousness as you do the work that he has given you to do until the very day he comes in glory. Each day dying to sin and rising to newness of life by your baptism as the Holy Spirit enables you. That is a true and spiritual life. And it is filled with comfort from God, our triune God, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.